is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Doc191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician, an addiction medicine specialist from the Aristocrats, and many other things. Bob Saget.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Bob.
You too.
Couple things, little asking for Bob Saget. First off, he was on Entourage a couple weeks back. Excellent on it.
I enjoy Entourage,
and Bob's character was... stellar on it. The other thing I got to say about Bob Saget is I watch Full House maybe almost every episode. And America's Funniest Videos. Both shows, not because I think they're the height of art, just because I want my brain to do nothing for 1/2 hour or 1 hour, depending on which show it is.
That's a pleasant way to do that.
Full House is a pleasant way to do it. Yeah. I swear to God, I can't take any more people kicking the crap out of each other. It's just you know what you're going to get, going to relax, going to shut down. And the other thing is America's Funniest Videos. Still watch it now with Tom Bergeron.
Some of the hardest laughs I get in the week are
it's real people stuff.
It sounds stupid, but what it is
no, a lot of people still watch it.
You watch a sitcom. You get a couple of head nods, maybe smile in there. No out loud stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You see the guy take the wiffle ball in the sack. You laugh out loud. And it's like there's nothing smart about it. There's no genius about it. There's nothing anything. I'll just watch those clips until you stop running those clips.
It's like silent films. You could just watch somebody get smacked.
You just keep going.
If you're standing on the street and you see a guy fall in a manhole, and then you wait for a minute, and then he comes out. But he's hurt, but he's okay, you laugh.
Yeah.
And so that's what this is. This is on tape.
No, I mean, you show that. I see a cat, like, staring at a koi pond, and I'm in. I'm just going to watch until either the cat goes into the koi pond, or the koi jumps out, or the dog runs up behind the cat, and the cat jumps on the dog.
If you see the fishing line, pull the cat into the koi pond.
Yeah, I don't want to see anything.
That's not right.
I don't want to see anything cooked. But I'll
Jerry rig.
I'll just watch. I'll just watch that stuff. Yeah, and of course my affinity for
I can't believe you watched
Full House.
I can't believe you watched Full House. I guess it's a heightened reality. I mean, it was like Leave It to Beaver for us. You know, it was that.
I know, but
violins played when I would talk to Michelle and Uncle Jesse.
Here's the thing, though, and he'd go into the Bullwinkle voice.
That was Dave. Stamos had a mullet, which he loves when I remind him of that. And I had a bouffant.
Yeah, Dave Coulier had a little mullet.
Yeah, he did. He had the reverse Sting, Phil Collins, backwards hair mullet.
You know what I was saying a few months back that Stamos tried to get, Lord Have Mercy off the ground, but it never quite took. It was never and it was never like, what you talking about or anything.
It was just Have Mercy.
Have Mercy,
but Dave had cut it out, which I think did take off.
I brought it tonight.
Then there was also he had another video with Tani Katane. Remember that?
Yeah, he did Dave did the show after mine. They cloned my show, America's Funniest People.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. So, Bob.
And I love Dave and John. They're my dear friends.
You got plenty of FU money, right?
Yeah, so now I'm making FU money. It's like R rated. My new world is R rated.
Yeah, well, we were talking about
that. It was very funny.
Yes, it's true. Yes, he has FU money. Now he's making
money off FU.
Right.
I have a friend that wanted FU money, and he said, now I have F.
We were talking to the very sick Howie Mandel in here, who would not touch anybody, did a lot of hand wringing.
Yeah, he likes to do the power fisting handshake.
I don't think he likes to do that either. It's just anything.
I get that because he knows I wash quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that it's a completely pragmatic thing. I think it's just something that may be up in his head. He's got a clean room at his house for when his kids get sick. He has a place to retreat to. But he said that Bob Saget was a blue comic before all the Full House and all this stuff came around.
Way before.
That's
Well, I was always kind of R-rated. I did an HBO special that was, you know, I had to drop the F-bomb on that thing a bunch back when both shows were in the top 10.
Right.
And, you know, I guess people were kids watching Full House, so they didn't know to put that on because they shouldn't be watching that anyway.
How many years did you do America's Top Videos, Funniest Videos, and Full House simultaneously?
Six and a half simultaneously.
Wow.
But it was it was 8 years.
That was when Network was Network.
And they're running, rerunning the hell out of Full House.
And the video
both shows,
thing too,
actually.
Yeah.
So you get a little taste of that?
It's a taste. I didn't own the show. So you get the residuals. You know what they can
right.
be. You know, something
really.
And I'm divorced, so it's half a resid.
Oh, really?
It's a res.
Oh, man.
It's an ooh.
But still, so you're good. I mean,
Things are great. I'm out doing my stand-up, which is like I'm selling out places now, and I'm dead headline House of Blues in Vegas, things like that where you get like 1,000 or a couple thousand kids in colleges,
nice.
And that's really fun for me. My stand-up, I'm enjoying now a lot right now.
So are you in the part of your life where you're just doing what you want to do, having a good time? I mean,
I love working.
Financially.
But also artistically, I haven't really. I did a play in New York a few months back. I saw the doctor there at a restaurant, a wonderful restaurant called Esco, which all your listeners, I'm sure, are going to rush out to. But I did an off-Broadway play that Paul Weitz wrote. Let me get that.
Privilege?
Yeah. Look at you knowing everything.
Yeah, it's right here.
Paul Weitz wrote it, who wrote about a boy, wrote the movie and directed it, and wrote In Good Company and directed that.
Was it a serious play?
It was. It had a lot of comedy in it, and then it got kind of serious. It was about an insider trader, kind of an Ivan Boesky Milken kind of guy.
So
it kind of melted down in it, but was a great, great thing for me.
Do you want to direct, because I know you've done some of that, or do you want to do stand-up, or do you want to get into more serious stuff, or does it matter?
I kind of want to do, I've got a few things now on the burner, as they would say, in a cooking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bunch of different things I'm doing. One would be a directing thing, and one's an acting thing I'm working on doing, which is more like what I'm like. So I can't go back and do the Full House kind of
film
thing.
Or television?
One's a TV show, which would be for cable, and the other is a movie that I'm supposed to be getting set up to direct now.
Well, here's the thing, as I see it, when you hit Full House in 1986,
Was
it? What year is it?
It was like 87, 88.
Oh, okay.
I got fired from a CBS show that I was on.
But when you hit that, there wasn't any place to go but there. I mean, there wasn't a bunch of cable shows. You couldn't just go, you know, invent Crank Yankers and go sell it to some low-level executive at Comedy Central, and they give you some money and you'd go put it on. I mean, you just couldn't experiment. There's nothing to do. You either, and then once you got into Network, you had to put the suit on and dance for the man.
I did that.
They'd pay you, but you had to go do what they wanted. There was no F you, I'm going over to Showtime.
Right, and I got criticized a lot for the jokes, but if you're going to do a show that travels around the world, you can't do it. I can't do it like my stand-up. You know, you can't say, here's a guy getting hit in the junk. You know,
right.
You can't say junk. They didn't even know what junk was. I was happy to get a sitcom. I just wanted any sitcom. I thought it'd be like Felix Unger. I'd dust bust, and then I'd hug everybody because I love my own kids. They were young then. Here, let me show how I love my own kids. I'm playing a character. Next thing I know, I got a 12-year-old now that asked me if I was gay on there.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I saw you in a dinosaur outfit last night, Dad.
Oh.
Are you gay?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was gay.
Was he a male or female?
My daughter?
12-year-old girl?
Oh, yeah, she's a 12-year-old girl. Last I checked.
Daddy was gay.
Because that's what my sons would do to me.
She wasn't like trying to give me trouble. She was just kind of like, well, she was kind of.
Yeah, I'd say she was.
Yeah, I'm writing her out then.
Yeah.
She's not getting any cash.
Ashley?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, hold on just a second.
Michael, don't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me adjust my life.
We'll just hang on.
Heather?
What is she thinking?
I don't know. She's 20. She's from Missouri. Oh, Heather? Yeah, go ahead.
Corolla.
Yeah, see, Bob, I'm trying to get Marco Polo, the kids' pool game.
Yeah.
Change to Adam Carolla.
Oh, that's a great idea. Carolla. So my kids can say your name in the pool.
Thinking, Adam Carolla.
That's my dream.
That'd be awesome.
I want that so bad.
Well, Marco Polo, I don't think he was a great guy.
No, and he didn't have his own show, and all the shows you got going.
He may have been lying. He may have lied about many of his stories.
They say he could have fabricated all the stories.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they say.
Well, that's one of the
it happen in a pool, though? Why is Marco Polo a pool game?
I have no idea, and that's why it's time for a change.
I mean, Klinghoffer, I can understand, because it happened on water.
I think he kind of got lost going through Asia. And
so maybe that's it. You know, it's the thing that's funny is I was thinking about this, so I thought, I'm going to go on the internet, find out a little something about Marco Polo, like when he died, where he went, stuff like that. Nice. And there was this thing I already told you, Drew, but it was funny to me where it's like, everyone always thought he was making up. These were tall tales. Yes. You know, this never, you know, there's no Geraldo back then. You couldn't substantiate anything. Everyone thought these were tall tales. So in the thing on the internet, it says a priest begged him to admit he was lying on his deathbed. Yeah, and I thought, what a priest. Hi, Father. You're going to tell us you're lying, my son. Like, I'm dying here. Gonna just
leave me alone.
Maybe that's where it came from. He was in the other room. Right. Marco Polo. Maybe he was in a tent of some kind.
Heather?
Hi.
All right, go ahead.
I was just wondering if Dr. Drew could tell me a little about how borderline personality disorder manifests itself. What behaviors are typical?
Well, there's a lot of different features to it, and it's actually a term that's sort of overused. We even paint people with borderline traits very commonly these days. And it's basically, you would think of it as someone who has very dramatic relationships, has difficulty being in intimate relationships, has profound fears of abandonment, can be sexually promiscuous, and have sort of fluid, even sexual identity issues.
Oh, now you're talking Coulier.
Often,
no, often he knows what he is.
A history of sexual abuse in childhood or physical abuse, that kind of thing, abandonment, neglect. So some sort of trauma in childhood is often at the core of this. So why do you ask that? A lot of mood disturbances.
Why do they call it borderline?
Because it's an old term that actually isn't descriptive any longer, but it was originally a term, borderline psychotic, mm-hmm. Personality disorder, and they just retained the borderline moniker.
Right. Is borderline psychotic if you're borderline? Mm-hmm. Or is it?
Yeah, now borderline, the psychotic or not psychotic no longer really applies to personality structure. Mm-hmm. It's a general symptom.
Heather?
I was just wondering because pretty much all of those apply to me. But I know people are overeager to just slap a definition on that.
Let me just say that post-traumatic stress disorder, borderline, and bipolar are probably in a spectrum altogether. And so sort of, you know, going to therapy, being on mood stabilizers, behavioral management, all that stuff can be, and sometimes 12-step can be very, very effective for whatever it is you have when you're in that sort of spectrum.
Well, it says here you hooked up with 6 guys you didn't know.
Yeah, I can't be attracted to guys for more than a few days after I sleep with them, and I sleep with them after I barely know them.
Well, the borderlines characteristically have something called an internal split. They have a good self and a bad self. And the bad self is the one that's able to be sexual, and when they only attach that to bad guys, and if they get really attached to someone genuinely with a good guy they're having sex with, they can't tolerate that. They sabotage it.
Drew has a boring self and a boring self.
A more boring self.
Oh, yeah. You have a boring self and then a super...
Super very boring,
boring self.
I've met a bunch of girls like that. They can't... I'm like a nice person. I try to be anyway. And sometimes I get angry if they want... What they want is me to treat them badly.
Right.
I can't be around that because I can't play that game of being a not caring guy. But they would be better off. But everybody, I guess, is afraid of intimacy.
Not everybody, but the borderline certainly are.
Hot ones are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want something from you, and then you have to make this decision. Do you start acting like someone you're not and sort of compromise whatever standards you have just to get laid? I say yes. Or do you just stay the course and go home and beat off?
Yeah, borderline.
Well, if you've drunk a lot, you can't even beat off because your hands don't function. It's like they're sleeping, like you slept on them.
Or
can you do it no matter what?
Oh, he could.
No matter how drunk you are, you can still hand duke?
Enema is a special instrument he uses.
It's tough. Yeah, I know. I know.
Central vac.
I know what you're saying. Here's the thing. I like that central vac.
Yeah, but you got to get down on your knees for that.
It's tough.
The outlet is very. Lay on your side, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to diminish what Heather was.
Yeah,
talking
it doesn't
about.
Matter.
It's borderline is a She's tough, fine. A tough road to hoe. It's very difficult to be in a relationship with borderline.
Did you say tough road to hoe?
Road a hoe.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And to hoe.
It is to hoe, I think.
Ashley, 20.
Ashley.
Hello.
You're 20?
Yes.
Go ahead, baby doll.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. When I was 15, I took a depo shot, and it made me like stay on my period for 9 months. And then finally, the doctor put me on ortho tricycline. And anytime I miss a pill, I'm on my period until I get my next pack of pills.
Well, now, well, Ashley, whoa. You need to drop this notion that you're on your period. Bleeding does not denote that you're on your period, okay? Uterine bleeding is bleeding. And when you're on the Depo shot, you're supposed to bleed for 3 months continuously, not because you're on your period, but because that's a side effect of the medication. And most women, after that 3 months, lose any period, any bleeding whatsoever from then on.
All right.
But some women can continue to bleed.
So your period is you're sloughing off something.
Well, the period
implies
a cycle, and these pills and whatnot suppress all the cycle, but they often cause a side effect of continuous or mid-cycle bleeding. Now she still has a tendency to bleed because she's on oral contraceptives, the triphasic pill, which it's very common for there to be mid-cycle bleeding. And, of course, if you miss your pill, the lining of the uterus is unstable and it bleeds. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what the pills do, okay?
I would be a mess if I bled for 3 months.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
The only good thing is you know where you've been. It's like if someone kidnapped you and you had a sack of rice and you had a hole.
A trail.
Right. In the trunk, but we followed the drops into the woods.
So, actually, it sounds like they did exactly the right thing. What's the question?
Well, mine did it for 9 months.
What's that?
I was bleeding for 9 months.
That's right. That happens very commonly from the shot.
Okay. Well, and then it caused me a lot of side pains and stuff.
Right, because you're bleeding all the time.
Yeah. Well, then the doctors tried to diagnose those with like endometriosis and pelvic inflammatory disease.
Did you have any of those things?
No.
Okay.
But they told me that it would cause like early menopause. And that I wouldn't be able to get pregnant.
What would cause early menopause?
Me taking the Depo shot when I was that young.
No. That doesn't make sense.
No.
I never heard that.
No.
All right. My vagina is starting to hurt,
in fact,
vagina has a first name.
The long-term contraceptives like Depo-Provera are thought to be responsible, the primary reason there's been a drop in the teen pregnancy rate in this country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There is a drop.
Yeah, a dramatic drop, and it correlates with the distribution of these shots. Now, I'm not a huge fan of these shots because of all the side effects and stuff, and people get depressed, and the libido shuts down and whatnot, but it does prevent pregnancy.
What is it a derivative of? Is there a blood thinner?
Progesterone. No, it's a progesterone, but you just got continuous progesterone, and sometimes that makes the line of the uterus unstable, and you bleed.
So they think that the drop in teen pregnancy is because of the Depo shot?
Yep.
I think it's because I'm not out as much as I used to be.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob's been riding.
I'm really busy. I'm just busy. I can't give like I did.
All right, let's play a little something called Germany or Florida. Here's how the game works, Bob. Mm-hmm. All bizarre stories I learned from sitting at the Jimmy Kimmel writer's table for a couple of years emanate from either Germany or Florida. It just got to the point where some writer would start pitching a story about a guy who ate his own foot while it was still attached to his leg, and someone would just yell out Germany, and someone else would yell out Florida, and it was out of Tallahassee or out of Stuttgart. So we decided to start playing a game called Germany or Florida. You tell us the bizarre story, and then we guess, is it Germany or Florida? Drew's 0 for 3.
Oh, no, I'm 0 for like 6 now.
It just feels that way. I think it's three or four.
Wiped out.
All right, I'm like 1 for 5. Yeah. We're both slumping. Maybe Bob can be our good luck charm.
Is the Bat Boy out of Florida? You know that Bat Boy on the tablet?
No, I didn't.
That's wild.
I mean, looks like a bat?
Or he looks like Nosferatu, so I would say Germany, probably.
Paul?
Hello?
All right.
Here we go.
Carolla. All right, I'm bored of my own thing. Germany or Florida?
Can't wait to get in the pool tomorrow.
Here we go, buddy.
You guys are like God to me. You guys put me, you know, listen to your show every night. You guys are great.
Thanks, Paul.
They really are amazing, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're great. No, I'm not kidding.
Thanks, Bob.
Really good thing for a lot of people. I listen to it, and I love what you guys do. You're funny, but you help a lot of people.
Thanks, Bob.
I mean it, damn it.
Go ahead, Paul.
All right.
He expects you to kind of...
Police divers are hunting a snapping turtle that bit a 15-year-old boy on the penis. Mm. They say the animal usually avoids human contact unless cornered. They are puzzled to as why the turtle should have attacked the teenage swimmer. The boy was bitten through the swimming trunks on his private parts and then bitten again on the hand as he tried to scramble out of the water. He realized what it was that was attacking him when the turtle latched onto his finger, leaving a deep wound that needed several stitches. Germany or Florida?
It's Malibu. It was my house.
Now, here's the deal. I've been tagged so many times convinced that something's Florida. I mean, our callers have gotten pretty savvy to this.
But here's the thing, Drew.
Snapping turtles are Florida.
I know, but
hands down.
Now you're up in your head. and you're questioning yourself.
I really am.
And that's the problem, man.
I'm screwed.
You're screwed because you're questioning yourself. You know,
because
the only
I'm
thing
ready to go Germany, even though I know snapping turtles don't exist in Germany.
But let me tell you what used to make you great, a great Germany or Florida player,
instincts.
And what made me look up to you, is you had instincts.
Yeah, all right.
And you didn't
right.
question yourself. You went with your gut, man.
All right, F it. Florida.
Wow, Florida. By the way, the snapping, I would rather be attacked by a puma than a snapping turtle.
No,
like, I am freaked out by snapping
like
turtles.
Stuff coming up from
but they're slow, aren't they? Don't you have to have your unit, like, right near them waiting?
They're slow, but the idea of you sort of walking barefoot through the lake and feeling something on your small toe, I mean, just, you know what I mean? You ever see those things come down on a broomstick and just crack them in half?
No.
Oh, they're crazy.
Wow.
they pop.
Wow.
They're crazy, Drew. All right. The good news is the turtle was more frightened of the boy than the boy.
Yes.
I always like when people point that out.
It's a corner.
They always point that out. He was frightened. Yes, but he attacks when he's frightened.
Wild animal.
We cower. All right, you're going Florida.
Yes.
There's got to be snapping turtles. Got to be in Germany too.
Oh no.
Okay, you're going Florida, Bob.
I would actually, I do think it's
Florida. Although in Florida, they know better.
He
was a young boy.
I know the people. I know a lot of people in Florida. And if I was a turtle,
you go after
I would prefer that than German meat.
Yeah.
Right.
Wiener.
Okay.
There you go.
Schnitzel.
All right. So
German
we're going
Wiener.
Florida and Florida. I'm going Germany just to break it up. Just to make it exciting.
All right, I'm going Germany.
Well, you're going Germany
no,
now.
I'm going Florida.
Florida? Yeah. Florida or Germany? You're
Florida.
Up in your head, Drew.
Florida.
Okay.
This happened in a swamp, right?
He's not telling us.
Oh, it could have been a pet store.
That would tip us off.
See, a German in a pet store would, like, dangle his unit in a turtle aquarium.
Oh, you're right. Good point.
Because they do all that. They do those weird videos. They do that Scheiser stuff.
No, this was in a lake. He said he bit him once and he bit him again in the hand when he tried
to. Scrambling
out. We got two Floridas and a Germany.
All right, Paul, what is it?
Adam, you're correct. It's Germany.
No.
Damn
no,
it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yo. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
True.
I'm glad I could be here for this.
Wow, Drew. You know what? I'll tell you, as good as it feels, my heart goes out to Drew. It's really coming undone.
Oh, my God.
And I think not only is this affecting his
everything in my life.
His personal life, intimate relationships, his relationship with his children.
A mess.
I
question everything now. You don't exist to me. Man, I don't know you anymore.
Wow. Drew.
Oh.
This is, I've not seen this kind of slump since I was in high school.
We got to take a break. I can't stand this.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm upset.
Wow.
No,
wow,
stop it.
Stop it.
Yes, I am.
Here's the thing, Drew, too. And now you're going to get weird and superstitious. You're going to start walking around telephone poles.
I'm turning into some sort of yenta.
Yeah. Wow. Bad news. All right. Bob wrong, too, but Bob shrugs it off.
First time.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's old for one.
I still don't understand why it's Germany, Florida.
Well, it's Germany. That's the point, and I'm right. That's my point. All right.
I hate you.
Let's take a little break. Drew, you need to do some soul searching, buddy. You're way up in your head.
I didn't know. I got to cut myself. I got to start cutting.
start mutilating himself. All right. He's on a 1-for-6 run with the Germany of Florida, everybody.
God, this is awful.
All right. Calm down. Bob Saget here. Aristocrats coming out tomorrow, the 19th of August. We'll take ourselves a
Guy nails a turtle in it. It's really hot.
We'll be right back after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Bob Saget in studio tonight. The aristocrat.
Aristocats would be the Disney movie. This is a lot different.
Yeah.
We can't even talk about what it is.
You know, it is.
It's offensive, by the way.
It is going to be funny 6 months from now when some guy heads into a Blockbuster and grabs the Aristocrats.
I don't know if they'll run it, you know, because Blockbuster has the same kind of policy because AMC wouldn't run the Aristocrats.
All right. Well,
so maybe they won't. But
let's just say he rolls into his local video store and there's a little mix-up when he thinks he's grabbing the Aristocats
for
his 9-year-old and he just pops it in and then heads into the room to take a nap.
And George Carlin is describing the boil on his ass.
Right.
It's not right.
And he doesn't know it until one of the kids drops the C-bomb. The following day at breakfast. You know this has to happen, right? I mean, it's
something
gonna,
like this.
It's just at least once, right?
Or because it's an unrated movie, you bring some kids in. That's
right.
This one's
you can't get grass. In under 18. My 18-year-old saw it. I won't let my 15 or 12-year-old. Oh, my mother wants to see it. Because like, you're funny in it, Bobby. I want to see it. I'm going to take my dad. He's 87. You know,
yeah.
Get some quick money
bring
out of
him. Bring some oxygen.
Now, he actually saw Team America and South Park movie in the theater. I took him. He thinks it's the funniest things he's ever seen.
Oh, really?
You know,
oh,
puppets
good.
Going at it was enough for him.
I don't mind old folks seeing stuff. I realize old folks feel the necessity to comment on everything, and that's why I don't want anyone over 50 ever seeing anything I do, because they have to talk about it. Whereas younger people see it and go, you were funny, that was great. Older people will go, you were good, but that other fella, he used a lot of vulgarity or whatever it is.
Well, I'm getting a lot of that because I've done so much family television. They're like, "What? Well, oh my God, your show's kind of blue, or you know, that was dirty, and I want to go see the movie you're in." It's like, please don't. Don't.
I went to my grandfather's, like, I don't even know what it was, like a wake or funeral, something.
He died?
Well, he died, but it was a year or two after he died, which was because my family's so retarded.
They really kept,
whatever.
They kept the body.
They put the headstone up after a year.
Yeah, but...
Oh,
yeah,
you headstone, thought they kept him on ice or something.
Headstone?
Oh.
Headstone?
He wasn't a Corolla, though.
Yeah, but listen, here's the thing. He was a member of the Neptune Society. Oh, okay. A guy came in his mother's station wagon at 5 in the morning, dragged him across the living room, stuffed him in the back of a minivan, and threw him in the ocean.
Nice.
It cost $238. We never went on the ocean. We just took their word for it. He's probably in a landfill in Sun Valley right now. But
nice.
The point is I sat next to one of my grandmother's friends, and she was like, I saw you on TV last night talking about defecation for 40 minutes. I don't know. Was it the man? 40 minutes. Now, they never know what they were watching.
Right.
I don't know how that works. So,
it's a universal subject, though.
Yeah, I go.
If they've been masturbating, it would be much more sense.
You watching Loveline or you watching The Man Show? I don't know, but you spoke about it for 40 minutes. I said, look, that's impossible. That one show's a half hour, but the other show, maybe 12 minutes max.
It felt like 40
on defecation. She was like, I was like, look, it felt like 40 minutes, but obviously I didn't go 40 minutes. And that's the part. It's not the part where they're offended, it's the part where they feel the necessity to share their goddamn opinion, because their thing is, F it, I'm going to be in the grave in 20 minutes. I'm getting this off my chest.
But it's not share them.
It's not share. It's foist. Yeah. It's foist it on you. Yeah. And their thing is like, what are you going to do, punch me?
Is this at a funeral?
This was at the, whatever. It was his birthday. It was like 2 years later. People were sharing stories. And this is sort of between Jules Mandel's long-winded blowhard speech and somebody else standing up. She just leaned over and kept saying, look, it's impossible that I spoke of defecation right now. 40 minutes, and that's the thing. They're impervious. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. They don't think, they know you're not going to tell them to shut up. They know you're not going to take a swing at them, and they don't care.
Yeah.
They just don't care.
There you go.
There's only one way to deal with that, is to drop your pants and make one for
actually,
her.
Actually put a little soft swirl on her.
Give her a little Mr. Softy.
Right. I was like, look, now you've talked about me talking about defecating for 40 minutes. So we're even.
Here's a visual aid.
Oh, always with their opinions.
James has a question about the movie. 24.
James.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
You have a question for Bob?
Yeah. Dr. Drew, you're great. Adam, you're great. Bob,
thanks.
You're genius for doing all your, Full House and then going on to your dirty career that everyone knows.
That's nice.
Thank you. I'll be LG rated again in about 2 years. Filthy animal career.
As far as I've heard, is that you and Sarah Silverman have the crudest, lewdest version of this joke. And I want to know that, in your opinion, behind that, who might have the next dirtiest version, only because I'm itching to hear and see this movie.
Well, I actually don't look at it as a competition, oddly enough. But Sarah's really brilliant. Right, I know. I read all that stuff. I don't think she's that dirty in it, actually. She does her character, which is what's so interesting about it. I don't want to give it away for the people that want to be amused.
Man, I just want to give it away. I just want to hear it.
Now, there's some other people that are pretty foul. My friend Taylor Negron and... Paul Reiser tells it pretty interestingly. It's interesting to see some of the people that say stuff and some that don't.
Bob, you knew the joke, but...
I made it up.
Had you done the joke before this?
I've been told like 20 years ago by Dom Herrera. yeah. Who told me the joke and made me laugh, but I didn't go around telling people. I could care less. I know a lot of dirty stuff. You know,
it'd be awesome if you broke into that in the middle of Full House.
It would have been great. It would have been like awesome. A Tourette's moment. They take Danny away. Jesse and Joey raise the kids for the next 4 years. But no,
have
I don't.
Mercy.
I was pretty dirty. That you're right there, sir. I was dirty.
But isn't that, I mean, that's just the point.
That was the point of it. That right. The joke is about lowering the bar for a reason, because we're in a weird time right now. And
beautiful.
It's about censorship. And it's kind of, oddly enough, I find the thing to be, you know, it's a well-done documentary.
Does anybody have, they ought to run it in the Middle East, by the way.
It'll stop all wars.
Does anybody have any idea who the originator was of the joke or the origins of the joke?
In the movie, there's this guy, Jay Marshall, who has a book on comedy, and he's the first person that kind of tells the joke in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty hilarious to hear an almost 90-year-old guy tell the joke.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And it's funny, because Gary Owens from Laugh-In, the announcer, mm-hmm. He's in the movie, the documentary, The Aristocrats, but then he told Penn Jillette at the premiere that Jack Benny told him the joke. And there was another time where Johnny Carson was Buddy Hackett on The Tonight Show once. They went to commercial. He told the joke over the commercial break.
And then
To the audience. Then they come back from the commercial and Buddy goes, hey, they called the Aristocrats. And Carson's right. Like pounding on the desk is supposedly the story.
So where did the guy that wrote the book suggest it came from?
You know, he didn't say exactly where. It was a vaudeville thing. It was just, you know, there was no Lenny Bruce. It was pre-everything.
Right.
Pre-Metazoic, I believe. It was the first caveman.
Was it always that filthy?
Yeah. But I think it's gotten filthier. We're at a time right now where, you know, standards have gone.
Trying to make a point, though.
Yeah.
Hey, James?
One more question. Does Robin Williams have a segment? Is he just clipped in it, or does he actually tell a version of it, too?
He tells other jokes. He's pretty funny at it. And there's a thing he does at the end during the closing credits, which is really funny. And so... Yeah, he's in it a bunch. He was in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. It's interesting to see where some of these people are. Joe Franklin is like in his office in New York, and he's like surrounded by all these artifacts of his entire life. It looks like the...
So they just came to wherever anyone was.
It was like a Silence of the Lambs pit with books all over the place.
Wow. Who's Joe Franklin?
He's the guy in New York, the old dude that had his little cable show.
Okay.
New York guy.
Yeah.
You've seen him before.
They didn't have it out. Well, then look, here's the whole thing. He didn't know who Huell Hauser was on KBC or KCT out here for a million years. So he doesn't know who our local version. That's Huell. He doesn't know who.
Is wonderful.
He doesn't know who our local version of.
But I get it. I know
he
that
is.
Now.
So he's definitely not going to know who that guy is.
Joe Franklin's kind of like the woman in Poltergeist combined with just the guy from New York. Like,
nice.
Poltergeist and Al Goldstein.
Beautiful.
From Screw Magazine.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Chris, who's 21. Chris.
Hey.
What's up?
First of all, Adam and Drew, I'd like to just say you guys have completely helped my wife and I get through a pregnancy late at work. We listen to your show when I'm closing.
Hi.
Thanks.
And thank you for opening up the dialogue as far as what is going on and just saying some stuff that needs to be said.
Wow.
What have we said? What would that be?
You mean like Germany or Florida?
Turtle biting you on the penis?
Exactly.
Now, what do you mean? Give us an example of what you're talking about.
When you go on the political rants.
Oh, the crazy ones about sterilizing people of color?
Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, right back at you, buddy.
Anyways, my question is how long after giving birth can me and my wife have sex? And if it is an extended period of time, what can I do to pleasure her until then?
Did she have an episiotomy?
She had a couple of skid marks. That was it.
She didn't tear.
What's a skid?
We had a water birth.
Something came out. Some soft swirls, you'd say.
Oh, really?
It happens usually.
Usually? Mm-hmm. One more reason not to be there. Wow,
I didn't know that.
I'm adding that to my lengthy list of reasons not
Fred
to be
McMurray
there.
Your list of why I should be Fred McMurray?
Well, I just think this hold on a second. All I'm saying is this started about the same time all that crap in the 70s started about guys being chicks and chicks being guys and us having to go through their experience and them having to experience our crap. We don't need to be there. I think there's a reason why we're not in that room, and I'm fine with it.
But you don't have any kids, right?
No, but when I do,
I was there.
I ain't going to be there.
We were a C-section, though. That was we had emergency.
You aren't much help.
I don't want to be there for
no,
that
I couldn't
either.
Do nothing.
You're not much help, and your wife ain't happy with you. She didn't want you there particularly.
Well, she was, mine was drugged, at, you know,
good.
From the waist down. Look, that was during our lovemaking.
Here's the thing. I had hernia surgery. My wife wasn't there. You know what I mean?
Did you have skid marks?
It's a procedure. I think I may have, yeah.
I'm sure.
Whatever it is, drug them up, take them out, go do your thing.
Grease them up and go.
Grease them up and go. I'll be, you know, with the cigars.
It's an amazing thing to witness, though. I think it's an amazing thing. You know, the yuppies get to cut the cord. They do that stuff. But that's almost like doing something at Disneyland that you'd get to do.
Yeah, who cares? You know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I don't need to see that. And plus, I don't need to see that area looking, you know, like Beirut. You know what I mean? I like to think of it as pristine, you know?
With a little poo-poo city.
A little soft swirl, some placenta, a couple of cords hanging from stuff. I don't need to see it looking in that shape. You know what I mean? It's like...
It's tough enough for you already.
Well, where's the deal?
And it's good. It's best shape. It's pristine
status.
Well, you don't want to see stuff... In normal childbirth, it goes inside out. You know, it's a hydra, which you'd that's wrong.
Here's my deal. Right. If you saw what your hotel room looked like the night before when the guy was in there partying with the hookers, you would never go in.
Infrared scanner.
Let the maid go in there. Let her clean it up. Let her put the paper band on the toilet. Let her put the thing. Let her fold the toilet paper a certain way. Put a mint on the pill. Then I'll come in. If I saw what was going on the night before, I wouldn't want to go in the room the next day.
Interesting.
That's the same thing with me. I don't want to see it in its bad shape.
What if after childbirth someone puts a mint? Right there.
I would like them to turn down my wife's vagina.
You want a sanitized strip over it for your protection.
Yes, turn it down. All right.
Chris, never mind. No one's ever turned down your wife's vagina.
How dare you?
Oh, damn it. I'm sorry.
I said good day.
not to be obnoxious, Chris, but the way to pleasure your wife.
Hold on. We were having a laugh, and the aristocrats, it brings this to mind, but I was laughing with somebody a few months back, and we were talking about it on the show, which is the biggest insult you could say to someone 200 years ago was, I said good day. Think about that. Was you would have to duel if someone said good day. And especially if they said, I said good day, you'd have to break out the pistols right then and there. You wouldn't have to wait till dawn.
Back.
Now it's Sarah Silverman talking.
That's mofo. It's things like that.
You're
About your wife, things like that.
I said good day.
But Chris...
Why, you?
What will pleasure her the most, I will tell you that after pregnancy, women are not usually interested in sex. Both the result of the profound drop in their hormone levels, the previous... What?
It's the wife.
Oh, hi. So you're not...
Sex.
You what?
She wants to.
You want to?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you?
No, I do.
Why don't you?
Well, it's only been a week, and I've heard that, you know, there's... issues with it and whatever, and it's still swollen down there and whatever.
All right, so then, as soon as you feel
charged,
you're charged up.
Well, there are other things.
Did you have a lot of sexual desire in the last part of pregnancy?
Well, the whole time I always do.
Because you're always up. All right.
Wow.
What's wrong with do you orgasm with oral sex?
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't you get him to do that?
I'm just wondering if it's safe.
That's fine. It's fine. Look, it's usually even with an episiotomy, they only have you wait a couple weeks. But here, I would imagine Chris's wife that what you want more than anything is him to help you with the baby and to, you know.
Oh, come on, Drew. Leave her alone. She wants to have sex.
That's fine. I'm just saying.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, Drew, but with the human body, if stuff like, it's like, if you crash on a mountain bike and you take a bad spill, but you stand up and you realize you're in one piece and nothing hurts and you can walk, then you get back on the bike and start pedaling.
That's it.
I mean, your body will tell you. I mean, if the guy starts performing whatever on her, coitus or otherwise,
something
starts hurting, you have to stop. You don't feel anything.
The exception
you're all right.
being if they're open wounds, if she had a cesarean section or a episiotomy, that kind of stuff. It's a different issue, but this
but
is not
But you
that.
Would then also feel something.
Not necessarily. But
really?
Because you would rip it before. Anyway, but you'd wait a little while. And a couple weeks, not a big deal.
All right, but she didn't have any of that.
No, so.
If I fall off a mountain bike and I'm hurt pretty bad, when I get up, I am ready for oral sex.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right away.
That's what I'm saying. And you make a little soft swirl in your riding shorts.
My skid pants.
What about bringing down the swelling by, you know, sitting on a sack of ice?
Yeah, ice is good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Vag ice,
yeah.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a little break. True, you're just...
Vaginisis.
Invented the world's worst sports rub. Bob Saget in studio tonight. The Aristocrats, name of the movie, out tomorrow.
Bag of Badge.
In a large release, and I don't even know what that means. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, the potty-mouthed Bob Saget in studio tonight. The Aristocrats is the name of the movie. Out, many stars in it. We had Howie Mandel in here talking about that, but my dear, dear friend Sarah Silverman is also in that.
She was up last week when you weren't here talking about it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She is in that, and it's out tomorrow on Friday in full scale. Large release.
And your show Privilege on Broadway, is that going to continue? Is that coming somewhere
else? I would hope so, but I don't think so. We were wanting to bring it to LA, but it was a lot of different things that kept it. But I loved it. It was a great experience. It was a successful thing, and it was a good thing. I melted down every performance. Mm. That was just because I wasn't good enough.
People ought to go see a show every once in a while.
A play.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
LA theater doesn't have what it does, actually. It has more than we realize. I'll go down to the Taper now and then and go to the Geffen and see shows.
But, yeah, people complain about it a lot, but on the other hand, it's not like when you go see a show in L.A., you're the only guy sitting in the theater. They're packed.
Yeah, I mean, if it's be a bad popular if you're the only one in there.
It would be weird.
That's, like, sad.
Yeah, when I used to do sketch comedy, we had this sort of over-under thing when we were over at the Acme Theater, but, well, back then it was the Two Roads Theater. If there was, like, more than four people in the crowd, we would do the show. But if there was less than four, we would not do the show. And one night, it was just my grandparents, just the two of them. And we did the show anyway. And they didn't like it.
Well, you're asking for a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'd like a suggestion. Talked about defecation for 40 minutes.
Did they start yelling stuff out in the middle?
No, they didn't. My grandfather's complaint was it was too loud. And my grandmother was a fan of a few bits in the show, none of which I was in.
Of course.
Yeah. Drew?
Yeah.
That's you, Drew. Caller 21. Drew. You're 21.
Caller Drew.
What's up?
All right. I got a bizarre story. Mm-hmm. Kind of a long story. I'm applying for student loans at school, and I'm out of money, so I know this millionaire, literally a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide I go to him, and I don't really know him that well. And so I go to him and I say, basically, I'm going to go to him and say, I need to borrow money from you, right? $14,000 loan, student loan. Anyway, go to his house, lives in Redlands. This happens tonight. And we start talking. And he says to me,
Today, Junior?
Yeah, you're lucky we're all tired.
He says, go ahead. I'm fascinated.
Okay, so he starts throwing out these statistics, right, about straight men. And he says that all of them really are heterosexual. Every man is really bisexual.
Yeah, yeah. All right, listen, let's just skip ahead to the part where he's going to loan you the money, but he wants to give you a BJ.
No, see, that's not what happened. Nothing like that eventually happened, but I'm just
curious.
Yeah,
it's going to, though.
All right.
Why did you bring all this up, then?
Well, I just wanted to know.
Why did you bring it up, more importantly?
Why did he bring all this up to you?
That's what I'm curious about. Was he coming on to me?
Yes. Yeah. Of course he was.
Was the check wrapped around his penis?
Yeah.
Did it bounce?
Listen, the fact is that's just a load of crap. You know, it's reasonable to say
Did
those
Did he give
things.
You the money?
Well, I never asked for it because I was scared. I know I don't want to owe this guy. I don't want to have this.
Good.
All right. Good
instinct. But it's a worthy discussion. The fact is, again, this 70s crap, that everyone's homosexual, they're born all culture.
Yeah, no, you're just uptight.
Yeah, you're uptight. The reality is,
you're really gay. That's why you fight against it so much.
Now we have functional MRI scans of men looking at gay imagery. And men have this very characteristic threat response in their brain that they're not even consciously aware of. It's a pure biological event that seems to be somehow biologically ingrained.
Right.
And so I went in this one scanner and they showed me this picture. I had no problem. Look at the picture, didn't bother me. I didn't experience anything.
Gay erotica.
Gay erotica. And you look at your brain's going, no. Just absolutely no. And then Adam, tell Bob the story about what we've been talking about in terms of how men respond to that, how straight men respond to it.
Well, they respond like it's seeing their parents get it on. Just, you know what I mean? You have to avert your gaze, pardon the pun. I mean, you have to put your hand up.
Not that you feel bad about it, don't like it, or don't want anybody doing it. It's just like you have a reaction.
No, it's like vivisection or something.
So what the studies are going to be now is to look at what is going on in the homosexual brain that's different that eliminates that response.
Yeah.
And again, and maybe it's something that developmentally occurs or whatnot, but the fact is, once a male is mature heterosexual, no. There's no fluidity anymore.
Yeah. Here's the whole thing about the gay guys. There's two things they want to do. A, they want to get you high. You want to get high, you want to smoke out, you want to toke out, and get high. And then the other thing they want to explain to you is that we're all just gay. Here's the thing. You're already gay. I'm just going to liberate your anus.
Right.
Your gayness.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
don't be uptight. You're not tight. Are you uptight?
We get high.
What, do you got a problem with gays?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not one of them. It's like saying, what, are you racist? You don't want to be black? It's like, I can't. I can't do it.
He's got a situation now where this guy is, he's kind of in debt to him.
Well, he didn't take the money.
Oh, you didn't?
Very smart.
Yeah.
Okay. Very smart.
Yeah.
And he has to stay away from him.
I want to just round everyone up from the 70s and start kicking them in the nuts.
Yes, I'm with
lying,
you.
Retarded idiots selling us this crap.
Here's the deal. Whenever people have an ideological point of view that they're trying to promote as a reason that they're making an argument,
yes.
Do not listen to them.
Yes.
Do not listen. Just look at the facts. Decide for yourself.
Yes. You were all wrong, you idiot, left-wing, hippie retards. And the one thing you missed was the sun. That's the one thing that was bad for you. Not microwaves, not the man, not the hairspray. Nothing was bad except for the one goddamn thing you idiots missed, and that was his son. And the reason you never brought that up is because the man didn't make it. So it had to be good. Pussies. Apologize. I demand it. And I want it in writing. We'll take a quick break. Bob Saget here tonight. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bob Saget is in studio tonight. The Aristocrats is the name of his movie.
Dr. Drew Bob Saget.
Saget.
It's hyphenated.
It's nice.
Out tomorrow in wide national release. And
tomorrow's when it really goes out.
That's what they tell me.
Oh, yeah. Mind. I think it was a New York, LA, Chicago thing or something like that. But it's spreading out tomorrow.
It's getting spread.
Ice-T in here next week, and Dave Matthews in here, which is exciting.
I don't think he's ever done the show.
Not since I've been here. Yeah. And now Dave Matthews, Drew, you know, the story with the tour bus and emptying the septic tank.
Yeah.
That's an awesome story.
I don't know the story.
You don't know that?
No.
Drew, how is it you avoid almost everything in life?
I'm not interesting.
It's celebrity trivia, though. It's like celebrity bashing kind of stuff, though.
But it was all over the news about a year and a half ago.
What happened?
Well, his tour bus was driving, I think, through Chicago, driving over one of those bridges that goes over the river.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy in the tour bus decided this would be a pretty decent place to empty the septic tank.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm sure otherwise it costs $185 or something when you pull into the place
so
and do it.
400 gallons of semen flew out.
So he popped the septic tank. There was some fecal matter in there, but mostly semen.
Yeah.
And God knows what
gallons of semen.
Yeah. And at the time he was emptying it, there was a tour boat.
Oh, my God.
Filled with tourists, standing out, you know, open.
Oh, my God.
You know, like the ones that go, you know, the ones that go up
How
and down.
How many got pregnant?
There were a couple of semen on the boat.
Truly.
You know, when you go to Paris thing, you know, just sitting out in the open all doused with this stuff.
Oh, my God.
And to me, like, I'm not one of these litigious guys and the old chick who burns her crotch with the coffee or something. It's like, get over it, sweetie. But getting the fecal matter dumped on you, I say it's good for a couple grand.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just as a taste. Right. Thank you.
I rented a Gulfstream trailer once to take my kids. It was like 7 years ago. I was newly divorced and grabbed my kids and went to the Grand Canyon. And I thought it'd be real fun, you know, is like an 8-hour drive in this thing that doesn't handle very well.
Right.
And they said that for $5, you can find a guy that will hook a hose up to your septic tank and will empty it. This is the guy you want to meet.
Oh, yeah.
This
yeah.
is $5.
Oh, I cool. let me close.
I returned it full. It was just full with no propane, no water, and just full of fecal matter.
No semen.
I was with my kids. I can't cross those boundaries.
He left that in some...
The guy who...
I left that in the Grand Canyon.
The septic tank guys, by the way, because all the years I used to work construction, they come in empty, the porta-potty, the porta-sand. They come with the truck. Now, I think people think there's some sort of hookup or something in the back of the thing that... No. They unroll the hose. They drop the whole hose down the same hole you drop the Duke down. There's no... And if you picture...
One was new, though. It had a thing on the outside.
Well, you had... This was an RV.
But he means the porta-sand.
I'm talking about the freestanding porta-sand.
I'm sorry, follow your
pooper. That's all right. The point is if you look at one of those things, you don't see any spigots or hose bibs or anything on right. the outside. They just go and drop them right down the center there.
That's a good time.
It's like a Slurpee maker.
And then start pumping that stuff out of there, throw a few mints in there, wrap up the hose, and go to the next job site. That is a rough gig. But I thought to myself... Do not F with this guy.
Yeah.
You do not want to be the roommate who stiffed him on the first and last.
Oh, he could leave you a
you
nice
don't
present.
Want to be the girlfriend present. That got busted cheating.
Oh, yeah.
This guy could come in, pop the wind wing open on your car, just slide it in there and just hit reverse on it and just top it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just put in the sunroof for your car and then just finish it with a trowel, put his initials there, like a sidewalk. I mean, literally, that's what he could do, right?
I used to be afraid of a short order cook spitting in my food.
No.
This is a
that's
car full of poo.
Time.
I mean, and that's the thing, too. If you're going to do it, you go in through the sunroof.
Yeah.
I like
the trowel. It's a nice effect.
You finish it off, so it's a little heavy, but you screed it off.
Yeah, sure.
You use a four-foot level and screed it. Then you use a sponge trowel to bring the moisture up, and then you hit it with the steel trowel to give it a nice, smooth finish.
Nice.
I don't want to see that on Jackass. I don't want to see that. I don't see that anywhere.
Well,
it's an imagery.
Jackass is listening.
It would be kind of cool, though, if you lived in the apartment building of the chick that had it done to her after this guy got pissed off when she cheated on him. And you got up earlier and she did, and you just walked by her car in a parking spot. You know what I mean?
You could go through the air vents. You could just go through the moon roof.
That's punk.
In her apartment.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. I'm just saying, do not F with that guy.
By the way,
that guy's more likely to do it than anyone else.
Because
I mean, it's not like he's an accountant or anything.
No, the guy's doing that. What's he got to lose?
If I walked out to my car and it was full of poo, first thing, because I'm a little bit known, I would be like, Ashton? I just think that it was done to me.
Fill your car with
Stephanie,
poo.
You guys, by the way, have something in common with the Olsen twins.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
Playing the father. You saw the movie.
I did my 10 seconds in it.
That's right.
You were very good in that movie.
Cinematic triumph.
Do you like the acting?
It's fun. Yeah, it was fun.
You were good in it.
Well, thank you.
You were more of a believable father than me.
It was a real stretch. I had to play doctor, father, multiple. It was a real huge stretch for me.
Stephanie?
Yeah?
18?
Yes, sir. My question is, I've been having sex with my boyfriend for 9 months, right? And up until like a month ago, it's been like, well, it's always great, but it's been like easy and everything, like, you know, to insert it and, you know, get going with it, even if I'm well lubricated or not. And now it's like, it hurts because it feels like my vagina is getting smaller.
Okay, mm-hmm. Did you start the pill or something like that in the meantime?
Yeah, like a month ago.
Well, that can dry.
That's it?
Yeah, that's what's happening. It can kind of dry out a little bit and make things a little different.
Like so even if I'm like really like dripping wet.
Thank you for the image, but it still can change things a little bit. The environment is now different, and sometimes it's just estrogen deficiency. That if you what pill are you taking?
Ortholo.
So you're on the low estrogen pill, and sometimes the lack of estrogen the high dose progesterone. Maybe
she's adjust a pill?
You might want to just go in the ortho, the regular ortho, or maybe a triphasic pill. Possibly.
Like, would a lot of estrogen make me fat, like make me gain a lot of weight?
Well, that's what people want to avoid. In some women, yes, that can be an issue.
Oh. Who's Ortho? Is that the company that makes it?
Yeah.
It's a horrible name.
Ortho McNeil.
Yeah. Sorry. Just call himself McNeil. Ortho is just crazy. A lot of drug companies have kooky names.
This guy's names, for the most part, Glaxo, welcome. You know,
Glaxo.
McNeil.
Glaxo sounds like an emperor from a different galaxy. He's going to come down and try to take over. Glaxo, Lord Glaxo's here. Look out. We got to take him down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what?
Pfizer's weird because it's got the PF in there. And then Upjohn.
Merck.
Merck, what the hell's going on?
It's people's names.
No, Viagra. Why would you call that Viagra? That's an odd name.
Well, the
for
whole thing, the way that they come up with the names for these products, here is what people don't understand. All drugs have two names, right? They have a generic name and a trade name. Generic name, totally made up. Totally
right.
Made up.
Right.
Usually with some acronym or some prefix or suffix or something that is consistent with the class of medicine.
What's the generic name for Viagra?
Sildenafil. So, or
whatever. Yeah, no one's going to call you
and,
on it.
And then the trade name.
Five stone listeners have any idea what you're talking about?
Sildenafil. And the trade name also completely made up, but highly tested and with sort of power consonants in there.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, it's been X's and V's and Z's, you know, yeah. Xanax and Vitor and Viagra.
Aren't a lot of them tested in-house by their people as well? I mean,
tested
a lot of these
for the name?
Tested for their authenticity a lot of times.
No.
It's
done all over. They've
all FDA, the crazy.
Oh, it's the procedure, the hundreds of millions of dollars to bring a drug from inception to the marketplace. It's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's done by multiple research centers at universities. But the drug company pays for it,
right?
But it's done by independent.
I know, and then everyone thinks they should be free, like everyone's PO'd. Like, this is medicine; we have a right to this stuff. Well, it costs this independent company millions of dollars to manufacture this thing. Why should it be
hundreds and hundreds of millions to research it?
All the R&D and all the attorneys, by the way, you pussies love so much. These are the ones that are driving the price up. But look, the second it's free, that's the second they stop working on it, you idiots.
Well, free is just samples through a doctor.
No, he means as soon as a company can't make money off the products, they're not going to.
They discontinue it.
Right.
I have a friend who had scleroderma, which is what I lost my sister to, and she was the head of the foundation. And at the time, there was this thing called Relaxin, which supposedly simulated the female hormone of pregnancy.
Also a Ziggy Marley song.
Relaxin?
It just sounds like it would be, yeah.
But they were going to discontinue the drug, and she went to Chicago, and like in the movie The Fugitive, and said, please don't do this, or I'll go to the press.
And
they kept it going.
There are multiple drugs that have been taken off the market because of attorneys and legal problems, and people suffer. And the companies can't bring them back. There's no way. It's impossible.
Right. That's what she was very courageous
and this
to get
is the
them
thing.
To keep it.
This is the thing. If drug companies can't make money from medication, they will stop doing research and we will not have drugs. That's it. It's a very simple equation. Why would they do it if there's not a business opportunity? It costs $800 million to bring a drug to a market. If they're not going to recoup that,
there's this feeling that there's certain companies are evil and then other companies are cool. Like, well, drug companies are evil, but then package delivery companies are
FedEx,
fine. FedEx, that's fine. But no, they're just companies that are trying to make money. If you start saying FedEx should deliver for free or make no profit or we deserve parcels in a timely manner and we don't, you know, it's a God-given right, then they go out of business.
That's it, period.
They're not evil. They're a company. They're trying to make money.
FedEx should deliver free drugs. That's what they should do.
And I want to say one more thing, as long as I'm railing and brought this up in a little while, but all you guys out there with all the problems, kiss the man's ass. AIDS, HIV, the man solved that problem. The man. All those drugs, all those drug companies, not your pussy herbalist, not the Chinaman, not that guy, not the wisdom of the Orient, not your faggoty friends with your crappy teas and the hibiscus and the green teas. Anyone who drank that crap is dead. The man. The man came up with chemicals,
to fight
and
disease.
They cured you and the AZT, and they cured the AIDS and the HIV.
Cancer's in remission.
That's what they did. The man. Kiss the man's ass. Stop railing against the man.
I will never forget.
And start kissing his ass.
Spin Magazine for that whole series about HIV not causing AIDS.
Course,
remember that?
Of course. Oh. Everyone knows. It's just, here's the thing. I want these people
held
accountable.
The man caused AIDS, right?
Yeah, the man caused AIDS.
So he could find some drugs to build, to whatever.
Yeah, do me a favor, you left-wing pussies. Next time you come out with AIDS, HIV, don't take the man's poison. Go down to the herbalist. Talk to him. get a little ginseng, rub that on you. Drink some green tea. We'll see how long you last.
South Park did a great episode about that where Kenny gets kidney failure, and he goes to the herbalist, and he starts dying. And they go like, "Well, we don't know what we're doing. We're not doctors. What are you talking about?" They're like, "What? You told us this stuff cures people."
Yeah, that stuff works if you don't actually have anything. The second you have something, then you have to start taking the drugs. When you have this sort of phantom nonsense because you got molested when you were 9, and so you have these headaches that don't really exist, or the back pain that doesn't exist, or whatever, the chronic fatigue syndrome that doesn't exist. If it can be cured with a placebo, then you can cure it because you think the green tea makes you feel better, so you drink it so you feel better because it's all in your head. But the second you come down with something that's actually diagnosable, then you have to take what the man gives you because your crap doesn't work.
But there are some people that are so sick that the drugs don't work, and then they turn to the Chinese
then
medicine.
Then they go to Mexico and needles, they start getting enemas.
And then they die.
Well, you
then
can do that, die. By the way. You can go to Mexico with enemas anyway. You can do that.
Right. Oh, no.
You just drink tequila and you get diarrhea.
I was reading an article about this the other day that people have real trouble. The Egyptians, doctors used to have 3 statements to their patients. They would say, "I will treat this."
Mm-hmm.
I cannot treat this. I will struggle with this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when American doctors say, "I can't treat this. I can't. There's nothing more we can do.
Oh, you're going to die." They tell you. Too many doctors that I've been to, and I lost my sister to this disease, said, "You're going to die."
Well, you were supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to. That's the fact. We know when it's going
to
happen.
There's a nice way to do it.
No, I mean,
"I'm afraid you're going to die" is better.
Yeah.
A couple of words. A little lead in.
Yeah.
But you have to do that.
How about one of us?
You have to do it.
One of us is going to die.
That's your hardest thing, isn't it?
True. What
no, my hardest thing is when
they don't pay.
No, my hardest thing is when they fight against reality, whatever it is, whatever's really going on. They don't want to believe it, and that's a hard thing because they're going to be in pain for it, and it's going to be miserable. And
well, also, there's too many of those crappy shows on Oxygen where they go, "The doctor gave her 6 months. That was 6 years ago, and she's thriving today." We hear so many of those, "The doctor gave me 6 months, the doctor gave me 6 months." Mm. And I don't really believe it half the time when the person said, "The doctor looked in the eye and he said, you are going to not live to see your..." You know, I think that's what they hear. It's like when a chick hears, "The guy called me fat," when really the guy said, "I like the other skirt on you better."
What I'm sure they said is, "Most cases don't last 6 months."
Right, right. That's what they
said.
"And
I would begin to get your things in order. But if you'd like to try treatment, there are things we can do."
Right.
That's what you say.
And you might make it 7 months.
And there are cases, reports, people make it 3, 5, but not more than 5 kind of thing. You'd say that.
Okay. Now, you got to, but then you got to get on the green tea, Drew.
I have a dog with prostate cancer right now.
Oh,
and
really?
I had nothing to do with it, by the way. No, but he is sorry. He had his spleen out like a month ago.
Prostate cancer.
Well, his spleen had a different kind of cancer.
Oh,
he's a sick King Charles
lymphoma.
Spaniel.
Wow.
Beautiful. But he's okay. The spleen area is all clean. It was inside the spleen only. But he's getting chemo. I got a dog getting chemo. And you love your dog.
Yeah, but you don't feel like spending that kind of money on him.
Well, it isn't the money. I know you bring it up.
My dog got bit by a rattlesnake a week ago.
How's he doing?
You got to suck the poison out.
She's good enough. She's good enough to go back to the hospital for something else. You know, well, here's the deal.
Something else.
My wife's a hypochondriac. The dog, if the dog naps for more than 6 hours, my wife gathers the dog up and goes down to the vet.
Hypochondria by proxy.
Cha-ching. Yeah.
Munchausen by
proxy.
She's
Munchausen by proxy syndrome with dogs. The point is
that's very funny.
The snake bite venom, she'll do it eventually when I have kids, I'm sure.
Ugh.
The snake bite venom was like $2,000. Then the 2 days in the ICU or whatever the hell the dog was, that was another like $2,500.
Yeah, we're going.
Then the
that.
Dog's going back again the other day. I've spent $8,000 on the dog in less than a year.
Yeah,
I haven't spent that much on myself.
I've done it in a couple months. It's like $800 a chemo shot. I'm thinking of getting them.
I know. They know they got you by the huevos, you know. And in the second I say to the wife, "Well, listen, the dog's fine. They'll ride it out." I have to constantly
let him die with dignity.
You have to explain to my wife it's a dog. It's a dog. And then she covers the dog's ears. Like, don't you let Molly find out. She's the dog's going to find out she's a dog.
Well,
your wife needs to have kids.
I love my dog.
Once you have kids, your dog becomes a dog.
That's what I'm saying. The dog is a dog.
Well,
to
my
me
kids, I have 2 daughters. They love this. Every different one of them sleeps with them every night. I mean, they love this guy.
So you got to keep it going for them.
Eileen, gay dog.
Eileen, you're 12. 12.
Whoa. Eileen?
12?
Hi.
What's up?
Are you really 12?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to be 13 in October.
Oh, well, it's totally different.
All right.
My kids are going to be out by 13 in November, so they're nowhere near her age.
Well, yeah, they couldn't play.
Mine's November, too. She turns 13.
Eileen, what's up?
Well, I live with my dad for 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
When I live with him, he comes home, like, at kind of late at night, and he'll just, like, go crazy, like, yell at me and sometimes. Like,
who is staying with you while he's out?
I just stay home with my little sister.
Wow. And is he drunk when he comes home?
No.
Why is he yelling?
He has an anger problem. He's always had it.
Right. Well, he has an anger problem, but if he comes home and you're asleep or he comes home and you're just watching TV, why is he yelling?
He'll find something wrong. Like, if I did something wrong that day or before, he'll get mad at me for it.
Yeah.
Or he'll purposely find something wrong to yell at me for.
Right. No, but he probably, I mean, I'm sure the guy's a, you know, pain in the ass, but he probably comes home and says, did you do your homework? And you say, no, and then he starts screaming, right?
No. Yeah, he does that too.
Right.
He does it for every little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Eileen. Well, this is, it's unfortunate.
Does he hit you?
Yes.
Oh, he does.
Then you got to call Child Protective Services.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told my mom and stuff, and we went to court and everything.
Wow.
They still made me stay with him.
Uh-oh. What's up with mom?
That means mom's a mess.
Well, she doesn't have any money, and she can't get a job.
And yeah. She's a drug addict?
No, but she used to do drugs before.
All right. Yeah,
her a drug addict.
Yeah, whenever the court says we're giving you back to a physically and verbally abusive dad, it means mom is a train wreck.
Yeah,
which doesn't leave you a whole lot of choice. Is any other family members around?
Just my sister.
Right,
your younger sister.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Wow.
So here's the thing: you're with your mom 4 days out of the week.
Yeah.
All right, so here are your choices. Okay, if the guy raises a hand to you, if his hand makes contact with you, you need to call Child Protective Services.
Or the police, just that night.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, that's number one.
Your second plan is to lay low, stay under the radar, get great grades, and get the hell out
right.
of there.
Because here's the thing. You got a bad parent is like just having a sentence in a bad prison.
Yeah.
Which is... There's a guard who beats the crap out of everyone. There's an evil warden. Your job is to not have them notice you.
Yes.
No, model prisoner.
Right.
Just go to school, do your homework. You know, if they tell you to put the tray back in the way, go do it.
Whatever.
Whatever they tell you to do, just do it. And then you start getting involved with activities at school that are outside the house. Yep. And I don't mean running around with the sharks and the... What else was in West Side Story?
Yeah, just do
the Jets.
The Jets and the Sharks. I'm talking about cheerleading and, you know, Spanish
sports.
Club and stuff well, like that.
When she's 18, what is it? Is it clemency? What do you call it? When you're allowed
emancipated.
To... You're emancipated from your parents. So yes. You have to,
right.
Do you have to do that legally?
No.
No, not 18.
18, you're gone.
But
you get emancipated before then.
Yeah, can she be like 13 or 14
she
and
be
emancipated?
She can be, but that's a tough road to go.
So, Eileen.
Yeah?
All right. If he makes contact with you,
police.
You call the cops.
Okay.
Other than that, you're going to want to rebel, and rebelling is going to make him explode.
Get out. Just stay under the radar.
I tried that before. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
It's your best bet.
But listen, you got to understand, Eileen, this guy is a drill sergeant. You're a new recruit. Yes, sir. No, sir. Make the bed. Polish the shoes.
Do great
at start
school,
marching.
So you can get your way out.
That's it. I'm sorry. Ultimately...
You're digging out with a spoon, and that's at school.
It'll pay dividends. But just start hanging out at school, have your friends, and do that. It's sad, but that you just have to go that way.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Ultimately, I think what ends up happening is the kids get angry, and the kids are freaked out,
yep.
and the kids end up
they
agitating.
Run away. Yes, of course.
And they end up, you know, dad... Now, in their mind, dad says... Did you do your homework? And they say yes, and he freaks out. The reality is he asks they do the homework. They say none of your business,
yeah.
and the dad freaks out.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they don't treasure having the child.
Think about the pedestal they were put up on when they were children.
Right, how persecuted they were, and how unhappy he is. He's doing it because he's miserable.
Well, it's gotta be, you know, there are a few things you can sort of judge yourself by. One of them is if your kids despise you. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You know, whenever they do that thing, like they're talking about, like, Ted Williams, and they're like, he was a good guy, he was a bad guy, he was a great guy, he was a horrible guy. His kids hate him. Yeah. When your kids hate you, that's, to me, judge, jury, and executioner. Well, it's all I need to know.
I couldn't even imagine. It's sort of normal in adolescence for there to be a certain amount of that.
It's one thing if you have a 14-year-old who's rebelling and can't stand the new stepmom.
Right.
It's another thing if your adult children just won't talk to you and hate your guts. Yeah. That's all I need to know about you. Nature or nurture, you got three kids. That's three more people on the planet that despise you. You ain't a great guy.
It just doesn't make sense because people do talk down to their kids, too, like they're things. I'm sure you're the same way with your kids.
Oh, yeah. I don't know their names.
You don't know them at all. No. You number them. But I just go by their age.
Thing too.
Right. But I went with my kids. I just talk to them like they're just they're not as programmed as an adult. But my 12-year-old's smarter. They're all smarter than me.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I revere my children.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
And this girl sounds really smart.
Yes, she does.
She sounds really smart.
I know.
She'll have a good life when she gets through this.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Unless she hooks up with an abusive guy.
Right.
Advantage
of her. Which is what happens a lot.
What she's going to be attracted to.
Girls with not great fathers are the ones that are the most...
Yes.
That's what they're attracted to.
Very attracted to.
That's what you always looked for. Isn't that right, Adam?
I did, but I always found them during their sort of... They would be hypersexual, and then they would be dormant. I would catch them during the dormant period. Same thing when I went to the zoo and would think I would see alligators thrashing around.
No,
it was always when they were sleeping.
Yeah. I had a weird thing happen at the zoo. I went there, and a turtle jumped out of the water.
Bit your penis?
Bit me on my penis.
Wow.
And my penis was, you know how they put their head all the way in their shell?
Yeah.
I ran around, like on America's Funniest Home Videos, with the turtle shell on my penis.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Did you air it?
I did air it.
Oh, it's nice.
I aired it, and I aired my penis afterward because it was covered with sea funk.
Oh, that's nice. What an image. I'm just,
sorry.
Just
sea funk.
Delighting with that for a moment.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Bob Saget, covered with sea funk. Name his latest CD.
Now my penis is covered with sea funk.
Penis covered with sea funk. Name his latest
CD. I have penis sea funk envy.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bob Saget in studio tonight. The Aristocrats is the name of his new movie coming out tomorrow. The 19th.
It's not really mine, though. I can't claim possession of this filthy,
well, you're
filthy
here.
Thing.
You're
I
here
am
tonight.
Here.
And,
I'm of Loveline now.
And I hear, by the way, one of the standouts in the film.
Yes, everyone mentions that. Every single person.
Yeah. And part of it is probably the against type, and the other part is just doing a great job.
Yeah.
It's opposite day, but it's a dirty, dirty thing.
Excuse my language.
Pardon me.
Let's talk to endometriosis.
Real quick.
I'm tired of this.
How about
talk.
Five?
What is it?
It's an inspissated lining of the endometrium going out into the abdominal cavity.
Oh, my.
Yes, yeah, nice.
That can't be good.
It hurts.
Corey?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Corey.
How's it going?
I thought we were going to do a cheer.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, Adam.
Introduce yourself. Okay. Introduce yourself. Uh-huh. Here
my
we
name
come
is Adam.
Truck, Andy.
Okay.
Bet you wonder where we've been. We're a team that can't be beat.
You know, what I do during the commercial breaks, Anderson,
funky
is
on
sacred.
Our feet.
He got that one in the bathroom, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Corey.
Hey,
introduce yourself, uh-huh. Introduce yourself, okay? Here we come, a truck in.
All right. What's up?
A boobs question, all right?
A boobs question?
Yeah.
All right.
A major, major sore nipple.
You
nice.
Do?
Yep.
All right.
Are you on medication?
Clarinex.
Mm, You take any, like, Pepcid or anything like that? Tagamet?
No.
Larinex shouldn't do that. Okay. Are there any, is there any discharge from the nipples?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. That's nice. Have they enlarged or is there swelling behind them?
It looks like a little bit, like, puffy. Kind of like they've hardened a little bit, but they...
Yeah. Mm. Do you smoke, you smoke a lot of pot?
I've never smoked pot.
Do you, you, were you on a boogie board for an extended period of time?
Nope.
Do you remember those rafts we'd have to be on with a canvas that would just wear your skin off?
Well, we didn't own any of those, but I did see the blue and yellow ones at the neighbor's house. Yes, if that's what you're talking,
talking about.
Yeah, rafts were considered too high tech for the Corollas.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, it's it holds air? Please.
For the Rothschilds.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Corey. Yeah. This is gynecomastia you're talking about. And it may be associated with milk production, even sometimes called the galactorrhea. All those things, when usually it's just the swelling and enlargement of the breast tissue that causes the irritation. Mm-hmm. And the most common reason for that is medication. But there are some other conditions that can be associated with that. So you might, you really do need to see a doctor about it.
You know what's crazy is when we were growing up, there was one of everything. Like there
in
was
the
a raft.
You mean? Oh, no. Oh, I see. Yeah.
There was a raft. It was that blue canvas raft with the weird yellow plastic stuff on it.
And that was the raft.
That was the raft.
Yeah.
If you wanted the belly board, that was the Ziffy board.
And that was the belly board.
That was the belly board. If you wanted the game, that was Operation. That was it. There was one channel. There was one raft. There was one everything. And there was like one commercial. Be like, oh, Mamma Mia, that's a spicy meatball. Or I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Or whatever. That was it.
The commercial.
No, that can't happen anymore because there's a billion of everything. There's a billion cars. There's a billion commercials. There's a billion stations. There's a billion rafts. There's a billion everything. I don't know. See, you used to be able to just make a joke, and if you said, where's the beef, everyone knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. Right.
You can't.
That's a spicy meatball.
Right. You can't
do commercial parodies anymore.
Right, because
there's too many zillions.
Yeah. You can't.
You can do Anflac. I mean, whatever.
And Anflac.
Anflac.
It's probably the last of a generation.
Right. Yeah. The MasterCard one where it's like the priceless one about, the priceless. But there's a couple, but not really. But there's certainly not just one of everything anymore.
Right. That's right.
You get your choice. You want and
good and bad.
No, it's just good and good.
Well, it's bad for comedy.
Well, it's bad for comedy, but it's good for rafters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more television options, but it's not all great stuff.
Mm.
I mean, you can't.
No, but
it's
but
mostly it, not.
But it's a pie that just keeps getting whacked up into smaller pieces. I was talking to my Discovery guys the other day, and they're like, oh, Miami Inc., our new show, it's doing great, man. We got the greatest ratings we had ever last week. We got a 0.42. It's like, what?
I know.
Not even one guy watched it? No, it's like, yeah, point under, we're into the tenths, we're getting into the hundreds now.
That's
and it's
what
like,
my show gets right. every week.
They're, oh, well, and, maybe it was a 5-1, maybe it was a, maybe it was a 6 or 7, but the point is they were elated at something that wasn't even one.
Yeah.
I had a show that failed, that I was on CBS before Full House, and it got a 3.1 rating in the morning against the Today Show.
And today, that'd be it.
You'd be a hero.
Yeah.
Or 28, a sitcom, 28 share.
Wow.
And then they canceled it, you know.
Right.
Whoa.
Right. So nobody.
Hey, Bosom Buddies had like a 28 share when they took it off the air.
Missed that one too.
I was on there.
Balky.
Yeah.
I used to watch that Friday
nights.
He's
got a huge career now.
Friday night.
I was on Bosom Buddies. I had sore nipples, actually. No, I was. No, I was
a snapping turtle on his joint.
I was the warm up guy on Bosom
Buddies. Oh, you were?
Yeah, and I was on the show once.
We were on the Hollywood Squares with him. You remember that?
With Balky?
Was he sitting in the
Bronson
chair next to us? Yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah. Talking about Russia and the crazy S he was doing in Russia. Remember this?
No, I don't remember that, but I was drunk.
He went to Russia?
Yeah.
Michelle?
Yeah.
You're 28?
I am. Hi, guys.
I think that was one of the Full House names, by
Hello.
The way.
Hello, it was.
Michelle, go ahead. See, I ain't kidding about watching that show. The kids' names.
The morality play for you.
Go ahead.
I was diagnosed with endometriosis when I was 19.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed the surgery to remove it.
So you got a laparoscopy.
No, they've tried to go in that way, but they said something about there being a barrier behind my belly button at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up having to open me up.
All right.
And I woke up 3 days later, and I had a drainage tube. I had a nose tube.
Right. Okay.
Is laparoscopy always going through the belly button, or does that just mean feeding it up something?
No, lap is in the abdomen.
Always through the belly button, usually?
Yes. It's a funny thing. It's just so much historical anachronism in medicine. If you have a laparotomy, it's usually a gynecologist going to the pelvis through the abdomen. If you have a celiotomy, it's a general surgeon opening you up in the middle.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
You're a real doctor or just a love doctor? Go ahead, Michelle. Then people sit there. They listen to Drew talk about this crap for 2 hours, and then the guests will say, like, during the commercial, so you're a counselor? Or you're, like, a therapist? It's like, you haven't heard him just quote all the crazy Grecian stuff for the last 2 hours?
Do you have a PhD?
Yeah, it's like, should you counseling? Are you, but you're, are you licensed?
Did you get your doctorate?
Michelle?
Yeah.
All right, so now what?
Well, okay, that was when I was 19. I'm 28 now. And I'm just wondering, is endometriosis recurrent?
Yes, it is recurrent. And it is associated with fertility trouble in your 30s, generally speaking. Now, it sounds like they did.
In my 20s, too.
You've been having fertility problems?
Oh, yeah. I've been with my husband for 5 years, and we've not used anything for 5 years, and I've never been pregnant.
Get to a fertility specialist and get going, because you need to get on it. Really, 33 is a cutoff for people with endometriosis.
Shouldn't her doctor have talked to her about this already, if she's married and has this?
What's going on with that, Michelle?
Well, I don't have medical insurance right now.
You shouldn't see anybody.
I pretty much just go to the doctors for, like, emergency stuff, you know.
Well, you need to work on a fertility plan.
How about
getting
a gig where you get some insurance?
You know, I work for the post office, actually, but the position...
Why did you get insurance?
I don't have insurance.
What?
The position that I have...
Private post office.
Oh, I see.
Transitional employee.
Mon Pa.
You're a transitional employee. All right.
Oh, I see.
Does Kaiser help people out?
Yeah, Kaiser's good, sure.
She could go to Kaiser and talk to...
Well, Kaiser's tough to get enrolled into these days. That's considered high-end insurance.
Kaiser out here.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Worst for name for business ever, the Permanente. When they added the Permanente card to Kaiser, that's like you're checking in, but you're never leaving the hospital. Permanente is like, are you guys high? Permanente? It's a horrible name.
Yeah.
It's like the company that does the ratings for radio is called Arbitron.
Yeah, sounds very arbitrary.
It's right in the name. You're supposed to keep statistical accounts of something, but arbitrary is right in your name? What are people high?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I always wonder how this stuff even, like, the part of life I'm interested in is not the achievement, not the human achievement part. It's like when I'm driving down the freeway and I see one of those Pontiac Aztec vans go by, and it looks like the car Homer invented in the Simpsons
episode. There's new cars out there called Fuentes and Plantas and things that they don't even look like a car.
What the hell are they?
All black bumper and there's less car.
The Aztec looks like just a rolling, steaming pile of Duke going down the road.
Homer's invention.
And you look at this thing, it's the ugliest thing.
So now, lowering a tube of liquid excrement into it would be a redundant
improvement. Improvement.
Double duty.
They call it an option.
So to speak.
It really would be a step up aesthetically. And so here's the thing.
You want your windows steamed?
Yeah. So I always think to myself, now somebody drew this out. Then somebody made it out of clay. Then somebody made modifications to
it. This is 4 years ago, too, because they got to get it going.
R&D. They had to tool up the place.
All you need to know, F Troop, I Dream of Jeannie, Gilligan's Island.
All right, but those...
Somebody had to dream those up.
Hogan's Heroes.
All right.
Thank you.
Those were just bad ideas.
The point is people convince themselves that bad ideas are good.
All right, but this existed in a model form for years before it was the first one rolled out.
They looked at the pilot before they made the series.
They should have stopped at clay. It should have just been clay.
Yeah. Right. That's the point. You see so much junk out there, and you go, how did this get off the ground?
American cars. You look at what comes out of Detroit, and it's depressing. They really should step it up.
Right. People don't. They believe their own S.
Right.
They decide something's a good idea, and they cannot be persuaded.
And there's no one outside of them to guru them.
Nobody to go kick him.
Chinese medicine people would help.
Yeah, that's right. Some herbs.
That's right. We need the herbalists. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back with Bob Saget after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah. We'll keep our fingers crossed, Bob. Bob Saget in studio.
Yeah, it could happen.
Tonight. Bob is a dear friend of the show.
I love this show, actually. Steve, I think you guys are incredible.
God,
you're spelunkers of relationships.
God,
Steve Igen?
Yeah, it's Igen.
Igen.
All right, true. No personal business over the air.
Yeah, you're getting the guy business.
We'll give him the guy a name on the air. It's fine. He'll be happy.
Yeah.
He's okay. A builder.
We will hop back to the phones and see if we can talk to as many people as we can before we got a break again. Steve?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Hey, Adam.
Corolla.
Okay.
We're over it.
We're over now, too.
All right, Adam, Drew, you guys are both geniuses. Bob Saget, you're awesome and half-baked.
Oh, thank you, man. trying to help the kids.
Yeah. My question is for Drew regarding hyperhidrosis.
On the hands?
Is there a surgery? Like, I heard a little bit about someone talking on the show.
I know somebody that had that surgery.
Really?
Thank you.
Adam did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, where do you sweat?
It's basically just my scalp. Like,
this is Adam's.
No, that's what I had.
This is Adam's.
I had sweaty head.
Yeah, I hate it. It's so annoying.
I know it sucks, and you know I'm so tired of everyone. You know, my head would just sweat.
You had the surgery,
the Baptist minister. Yes,
yeah, he'd start dripping down.
It was hot in here, just dripping down my face. Yeah. And everyone always does that thing where they go, "It's healthy. Your body is a shut the f up." Everyone thinks you're high on coke
or nervous, flop sweat, or whatever.
Yeah, no, I would sweat like you would sweat maybe under your armpit. My armpit would be dry.
Sometimes it'd be like a comedy routine. You know, if somebody had put sprinklers under his forehead,
how do you do the surgery?
I'll tell you how you do the surgery. They go in through your side little rib there, and they do something to a nerve, and it cuts off.
These ganglion up here, they just destroy them.
And then they jump into the top of your head.
Yeah, and so they block the sort of sympathetic response to the top of the head, and you start sweating everywhere else.
Is that dangerous? Yeah. Is that like using deodorant where you're killing your armpits?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a big surgery.
Yeah, it was more than I bargained for, but I'm glad I did it.
Adam had a story about the girl in the next booth screaming and yelling.
It's a chick who had it who was next to me. I couldn't figure out. Was this like a 17-year-old chick who was hot and blonde and from Arizona and wanting to have this surgery? And I thought to myself, well, I used to sweat but at 17, first off, hot females don't do a whole lot of sweating. But then I started, started concocting these stories about beauty pageants and her mom. And I had it all worked out in my head that this is basically JonBenet, you know, 10 years later.
Stress-related sweat?
No, but she would go...
She needed to perform.
She would go out on stage and perform, and her mom would see the sweat on her and said, "We're going to take you to L.A. and get this procedure
done." Her sash had been soaked.
Mm. Right. Point is this chick was lying in the bed next to me just screaming after the thing. Oh, my chest! And I was like, yeah. I heard too, baby, but I ain't broadcasting it. Stiff upper lip.
Did they do the same thing to her under the arm?
Yeah.
There's only one way to do it then. What if your crotch sweats?
They have different procedures for the hands and different one for, but it's the hands and the face, basically.
All right. So let me tell you a couple things, Steve. A, they have this procedure. B, there's some topical crap now. It was
Xerac W they've got.
Yeah, but no, here's another one.
Better one.
I was. This is internet crap, but here's the deal. I was getting makeup put on I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. Mm. And the makeup artist had this big bottle of stuff she said that she just got from the store, you know, the beauty supply store. She said it was developed by makeup artists, herbalists. No, it was developed by guys to put under prosthetics.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys would have these prosthetics put on, and obviously you're sweating under it, and it would start getting loose and bubbling up and stuff. She said it works like a champ. So here's the thing, Steve. Go on the internet, look for this stuff. It's just all that aluminum chloride stuff. Yeah. Just go find this stuff, and you just dab it on before you have a big date or a big job interview or something like that.
But he has the scalp, not just the forehead.
Top of your head?
Yeah, it's my whole scalp. But I had a quick question for Drew about Drysol. Is that safe to use on your scalp?
I don't even know what that is.
Same thing. That's that stuff.
I've had over-sweating on my armpits, too. Like, I used to have that, but I don't have it anymore. Like, and it just, yeah. Like,
these are all just the same base. The
it's all the same stuff. Yeah, it's all the aluminum stuff.
It's not the greatest thing to do for yourself, but it'll work.
All right.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the best.
Yeah. Or just get a job where they expect you to do some sweating.
What if you're in cold? What if you wear like a meat cutter and you're in the refrigerator all the time? Isn't that a good thing to do that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So
work
get a job
at SeaWorld.
Get a job at a meat packing place. Yeah.
Working in the North Sea.
Yeah. Yeah. Like get yourself a job on a
film the next
Coast
Penguin
Guard
movie.
Cutter.
Or March of the Penguins 2.
Yeah. Get a job on a Russian icebreaker.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. You get dealt lemons. You got to make them lemonade. Yeah.
Hockey player.
Sabrina?
Yeah.
22?
Yeah.
What's up?
My question was, is it abnormal after you have sex, you just feel disgusting?
Adam feels disgusting after he finishes masturbating, but not after sex.
Never again, I swear. and then the clock moves 1 minute. It's like I'm out of myself again. Never again is a proclamation. You just see the clock move one.
This is the bat.
Just a small hand. Just a big hand. Boop, one. All right. Actually, they cut to a hummingbird. So it's like, never again. Hummingbird. Three count on a hummingbird, and then me back at myself. All right.
I keep reminding you don't actually show us what
all
you
right,
do.
All right. Really. Sorry.
Sabrina, that's not normal feeling. Well, what's that all about?
What's that?
That's not a normal feeling. It's not a healthy feeling. What's that all about?
I don't know.
Are you with somebody you care about?
I was with a guy for 5 years.
You like him?
Well, yeah. I mean, we lived together, and it ended fine because we both moved.
And how are you doing now? What's happening now?
Oh, I'm not in a relationship now.
But are you still having sex with people that you're not involved with?
I pretty much stopped just because of that feeling.
Are your parents religious?
No.
Were you sexually abused?
No.
All right, so nothing we need to know about?
Nothing I know about.
All right,
Then I would tend to blame that relationship. You need to find somebody you're really into, and that feeling will magically go away.
Quick question for Bob. Actually, we don't have time. Mandy?
I feel dirty, too.
Sorry, we're out of time. You want to say hi to Bob?
I'm like in love with you. You're my God.
Seriously. Oh, thank you. You don't have to go that far.
Okay.
But that's very sweet. I met a guy who has a website called Bob Saget is God, and I met this guy, and he got on his knees and started bowing to me.
Wow.
He said, I'm not worthy. I'm like, dude, get up at his eye. It's kind of weird.
Adam, you shouldn't behave like that. It's weird.
That's very sweet. Yeah. That's very sweet of you.
I wasn't bowing. I was just getting on my knees.
Why did you build that whole site? That was like months of work.
I serve my Lord. We'll take ourselves a quick
service,
break.
Service, your Lord. You
service, my Lord. We'll be right back after this. Chick talk going on during the break. I want to thank Bob.
the great Bob Saget.
The great Bob Saget.
Thank you, guys. You're great. I just worked here.
The aristocrats, everybody is out as we speak because it's technically Friday.
Yep.
I want to thank Rick for doing a great job engineering all week. Junior producer Lauren for doing a great job. They're only like 13 there. Producer Ann for doing a great job. Booking people like Dave Matthews coming on next week. Bob Saget, who's here now.
You got to ask Dave Matthews about his septic tank.
Oh, don't worry.
Ask him all about
it's
that.
It's going to be awesome.
And, Engineer Anderson, who else am I missing?
No. Patricia
for doing a great job screening. And
who's Marcus?
Marcus for doing a great job wiping Drew's ass. And Michelle. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Thank you for opening up the dialogue. As far as what is going on and just saying some stuff that needs to be said.
About sterilizing people of color?
Yes, yeah.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.